Well, it is another week by. It's a Saturday. And it's been one of those crazy days. I have been out all evening. Got dinner, which was Chinese food. Awesome. And then, of course, you know, did some hefty lifting with a friend of mine. I had to take it around the outside of the house. Lots of maneuvering, so just a bit sore. I've got my drink here. Ooh, nope, wrong. I have my book here and my pen here in case I jot down some notes this time. Sorry about the creaking. Well, gotta grab my drink. And then sitting outside on the porch, both my kids are almost asleep. My son passed out pretty quick. My daughter's fighting it. So, but sitting out here, I've got the Bud Lights going. They don't help the Beatles, so sorry if there is a, you know, high-pitched squeal sometime during this podcast. I was attacked by a couple yesterday. I actually was going to do an earlier broadcast yesterday and then just post it for today, but even though I did my notes on my paper here, and it just didn't work out. And kids were pretty hectic. I was exhausted. So, today just seems to be the day to do this podcast, which is awesome. Anyways, you know, how was your day? I hope it turned out fantastic. It was pretty rainy here, off and on all afternoon. And we finally had a bit of a break from, like, 4:30 till currently, and I don't hear any of the bugs yet. Oh boy. I'm sorry, take a pause for a drink. But choice of drink tonight is Mountain Dew, or I should say Mountain Mist. I am taking a little bit of break from intoxicating drinks. Sorry about the little barking. My hound thinks he's got to communicate with the neighbor dogs about this time of night. So, you'll hear a little yips from him. So, but, you know, speaking of pets, you guys ever heard of familiars? I sure have, especially as I was growing up. You know, the myths about the black cats. And then as we got older and you read storybooks, fairy tales, you know, how cats are your familiars or animals are, if either, you know, spiritual guidance for you or just in the time of need. I do believe both my animals are. I've got a calico cat and she's been with me since my daughter was a year and a half, and been through some up and downs with her. And then I've acquired my pup about 2 years ago, which is really awesome. He is a fantastic dog, that's for sure. So, always wonder. Careful, Callie. Sorry. Cat decided to freak out over the candle. So, but, you know, it's been one of those days, you know, your choice, coffee or tea, or pop, water, sit back and let's just enjoy. If I didn't say this, but this is Trina from Chatterbox. It's just another night of me just sitting back and chattering. If you got any questions or stories or advice or generally just want to talk, you can always find me at chatterboxpodcast47@gmail.com. So this is Chatter Time. And just going over the days. In the couple days, actually, you know, we had a late night a couple nights ago with my husband and my best friend and her hubby, and we sat back and took a couple shots, and my husband got us to play rummy with him. And I am not a card person, especially if I have anything drinking wise, but he's been getting me on this card game for 5 years now. And it's the only card game him and his friends can play. And it's like, okay, I can catch on. And like, now that I'm not drunk, I can think of the game, snap straight to it. Yeah, let's play right now. But, nah. Well, anyways, my best friend and her hubby did not know how to play it, so my husband proceeded to explain to her how to play this game and how to, you know, show him how. So we went through the first round with the open face. Everybody showed their cards in the second round. And by the time we hit the third round, we were just done. Just done. Generally, it was just not the kind of game to play. Unfortunate for my husband. But she did bring a drinking game, which was pretty darn interesting. It was more of, what would you do? Like, you know, would you date Barbara Stan? You know, let's see if we could do this. What would you do? Date Mary Poppins or Lola from Bugs Bunny? You know what I mean? Just a random game of pick this, choose that. And, you know, it was pretty interesting. And at one point, I was hoping that we go through and get an interesting card there that would have either a debate or make somebody uncomfortable. You know, we had a relationship one. Would you date somebody? Or what would you do? Would you sleep with your best friend's husband? Or would you sleep with your best friend's kid's 18-year-old friend? And that put us all on the spot. You know, we're a middle-aged group. We are in our 20s, going into our 30s. And, you know, that was an interesting question because 18-year-olds are kids still. Babies. Oh boy, did it turn heated. You know, I'm not going to sleep with my best friend's husband. Nah, not going to happen. So that was just out of the blue for that one. And I was like, well, it's not his kid. It's not her kid. It's the best friend's. They're 18. What would you do, right? It's not like it's going to happen. So it was a very heated, very in-depth conversation. There was a couple of them that were pretty gross about what would you do? What would you drink soup out of a poor man's shoe or a homeless man's shoe or drink pus from a shot glass? And it was just like, that's gross too. Ew. Or would you rather, you know, puke in the parking lot in front of your crush or have dog poop on your face after taking your dog for a walk when you're having a conversation? Yeah, that was an interesting one too. It's pretty funny. So, but, you know, mainly it was a day to chase a bad, you know, some of the darkness coming in. Some people have a lot of family loss coming up through this, especially this month and the next few months. You know, I have special memorial days marked for myself, for both my parents and the loved ones that I've lost throughout the years. And, you know, yes, Thursday was a day to help push it back a little bit, fight that darkness with a little bit of positive light. And I think we managed to do it. You know, we all have different coping methods when it comes to losing family members. That's one of the hardest things, topic-wise, because somebody could say, I've lost this person and I'm so angry. And somebody, I understand, not everybody wants to hear that, you know. Some people just need to sit back and listen to the person. How are they upset or how are they angry, you know? What are you feeling at this moment and why? And it just takes the person slowly working through all these emotions and feelings to be able to come to terms with the fact that they're gone. It's not being okay with they're gone, but coming to terms with the fact that that change has happened and it's something abrupt and huge and like massively big. And I have no idea. Is that a spider? Sorry. Pause for a moment. It was a spider. I'm watching it go up and down and just stay there. But, yeah. Coping with loss from a loved one is a difficult challenge, especially roadblock when you're trying to move forward. So, come here, boy. Sorry, I gotta call the dog up here before he starts yelling at something. So, there's pro choices, bad choices, good choices that you can use for coping method. You know, you could be that person that dreads the month, the day, you're counting every minute and every second, and it starts even before you even get to that point. And you're just working yourself up to the point that you're going to miss this person the most, that you affect your day-to-day basis through the whole year, the month. You know, you lose out on precious times to make a good memory. Might not be with that person that you miss, but it's a good memory so that, you know, you can look back on it, or the loved ones that are in your life can look back on it when you're gone. You know, I had an eye-opening change losing my parents at a young age, realizing that life isn't as long-lasting as we all hope it is. It's pretty damn short, especially nowadays. You know, you've got everything you can imagine, from drug choice to abuse choice, which is alcohol, you know, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, physical and mental. You know, everybody could find a negative aspect when it comes to anything, when it comes to loss. But, you know, if you could sit back and you could find the positive memories and thoughts, and even when it's negative, if or wish or why, I wish that never happened. Only if this person was still here, you know. Saying that, just say they're here with you. I mean, I've always been told by my aunts, we always picked, you know, the family we come to this earth with, but we also pick those that are there to guide you, even if they're not here with you. So, I was brought up in not completely different religions, but coming from both sides, it was a different religion for each person. You know, it's a very touchy subject too, for that matter. I've chosen not their paths, but my own. I love Earth. Love it. It's so beautiful here. You know, I could see such potential. People just sit back and notice the nature and beauty around them and want to improve that small space that you have of your own. And if your space isn't of your own, then, you know, creativity, you know, that wish that you wish you could do, you could possibly do it. You know, this podcast was a wish. Definitely wishful thinking. You know, I've got quite a few already posted on here, and I'm not ashamed of trying something new and stepping out of my comfort zone, because talking to myself isn't a comfort zone. I shy away from these things because, you know, in this generation and thought processes, not always the best thing, but, you know, when you got that urge and the want and need within you to chase a dream, you can do it. And it's also a very good pro focal point when it comes to, working through your loss of a loved one in this world. But, you know, people work through a lot more than just the loss of a parent or a loved one. It's how they're lost in the situation that arise from it. You know, the guilt and everything too. And guilt was what got me for the longest time. And it was holding me back from seeing a bigger picture in the situation. So that's where it found me spiritually. And I went down the rabbit hole of, who am I? And what am I here for? I bet everybody has. But, you know, it happens. What else? Let's see. Hangover foods. Have you guys picked your favorite? What is your choice? I love breakfast hangover foods. Bacon and eggs, corned beef hash. See, I'm not partial to corned beef hash. I rather have homemade hash browns with scrambled eggs, cheese, and then all my herbs just tossed in it. I've got dill, I've got thyme, and I've got green onion, and I got basil. I'm trying to think. Oh my goodness. But I got all these herbs out here that I'm just slowly growing, trying to figure out if I got a green thumb, and so far it's doing okay. But, you know, I'm more of the heavy-duty, greasy foods. My husband sure is partial to corned beef hash. That's something I didn't really get to enjoy in California, but moving back here, they sure do love it. So, yeah, bugs and beetles, you know, going through and reading up different choices and thoughts on, you know, spirit animal medicines and beetles and moths definitely have came to me quite frequently in my life. So, got a question for those mom out there. Tell me, have you had a house party recently, and does it rival your children? I swear, my children have a party 24/7 in my house. It is a wreck if I don't keep up on them and tell them you need to keep cleaning this up. You know, because it's an everyday reminder when it comes to kids. But, yeah, no. After my friends left and I woke up the next morning, I already had all my stuff picked up and put away. I was like, man, it didn't even look like there was a party here. Oh, my kids came, woke up 10 minutes later. The room never looked the same. It's just trashed. I think I reorganize and reshelf things and hide them in other places, not realizing it, but doing it on accident that, you know, we can't find a lot of stuff. I find myself needing to reorganize every year. It's kind of like a summer cleaning. And, you know, I keep threatening just to torch all the paper in the house because I really don't need to deal with it. I collect it so much. You know, those knickknacks, the paper pictures the kids draw. It could just be a single circle on a piece of paper. Mommy, look how pretty. Oh, I love you, kid. Thank you so, so, so much. I mean, kids are special. Don't get me wrong. I love my children. They are a blessing and a half for me. But man, do they go through paper like crazy. So, all right. I was strolling a couple days ago on the internet, and I came across something that was kind of aspecting-wise when it came to relationship dynamics and advice-wise. And mainly it was how women have a verbal outlook, or, and I should say, an emotional penis rather than a physical penis, where it just needs to express itself all the time. You know, you have a bad day, you unload it on your significant other. And well, my husband made a very valid point that I'm capable of doing it, but he's not. And it doesn't help him get in touch with those feelings that are obviously causing more friction and frustration between us. And I understood where he was coming from. I completely agreed with him, which made the situation so much worse. I guess you're not supposed to agree with them. You're supposed to listen. And it's absolutely right, because that's what we want them to do. We don't want them to agree with us. We want them to listen to us, understand us, and do their best to either A, help us, or B, help themselves. Well, I do know that it is very difficult to have children and keep a relationship sane. Both partners have to work super hard at it. But I'm going to read this, and, you know, maybe you can write down in an email what you think about this, and we'll have a friendly debate, or, you know, maybe the next conversation or topic will be about relationships. All right. So, wish me luck on reading. It's been a while since I've been in high school and roundabout readings. All right. The emotional penis. This term has sat with me for about a month now. And all right, so just so we know, I found this on Facebook. It's Sacred Dreams. I'm assuming it's a site somebody posted it. It's a pretty good, decent couple paragraphs. But all right, reread. This term has sat with me for about a month now, and I personally had to process it within my body before I could share it. This term first appeared in a conversation I had with a girlfriend, and the idea that while men have a physical penis, women have an invisible emotional penis. I often pride myself as someone who has tremendous amount of awareness, consciousness, and respect for others, and when I heard this term, my body contracted, and my mind went to all the times that I had penetrated with my words, energy, and emotions without consent. I felt like a predator. Emotional penis, or even emotional predator, the term themselves made me cringe, feel uneasy, yucky, and shit.
How many of us feel used and violated when we are penetrated without consent? And how many of us feel uneasy when our boundaries aren't respected? Emotional violation can feel the same. Just because a violation is emotional doesn't take away the impact or the intensity. Emotional cheating is just cheating. It's still cheating, so why would it be any different than an emotional violation? If we weren't educated on this, then it's important that we need to learn about it now. I had to sit in a puddle of feeling like a predator for the time I penetrated someone else's space, emotions, hurt, or energy without permission or consciousness. Compared to sexual activities, we haven't gotten much awareness or precautions when it comes to emotional interaction. I had to sit and reflect on the times that I assumed emotional permission and consent, and I also had to reflect on the times that I wasn't aware of the emotional boundary that was in place. Often there is no floor play when it comes to emotional penetration. We often lash out with our emotions and feelings. There is often no checking in. How are you feeling? Is it good for you? Or lubrication with this? We as women often ejaculate prematurely with our emotions, feelings, leaving men often wondering what the hell just happened. There is often no check-in or aftercare after ejaculation or penetration either. When it comes to this emotional penetration, I feel like women are the masculine ones. While men have a physical penis, women have an emotional penis that can be suddenly erect and ready for penetration at a moment's notice. I feel like a lot of us have treated men like a-holes to dump our load to. Fuck. I feel like a predator at the level of my guilt and yuckiness surging through my body while I healed these parts of myself. I have had a month to come in and out of this to try and process it. I've had multiple conversations with hubby and sincerely apologized for the times I have violated him, and at the same time to remind him of his rights towards his boundaries and consent. We often forget that while we regularly tune into our feelings and emotions, some men have not had the capability to hold our emotions. There is a rise in men tapping into their feminine, but this is only still probably 1% of the population. Many men are still scared and fearful, overwhelmed by their emotions and feelings, let alone on how to handle what their partner's feminine energy. It's like asking for hardcore sex the first time and you're intimate with someone. Pretty nuts, right? As women, we often dump our emotions and feelings onto our men, even if they are not ready. We often do this to get the stuff off our chest, to feel lighter, even without thinking about it, whether our men are ready or capable of holding us, or our emotional feelings and energies. And then we resent them if they jump in with their solutions or go into fixing mode. If we, as a society, more so women, demand more consciousness and accountability from men for their sexual behaviors, we also need to be held accountable for our actions when it comes to our emotional behaviors and everything else in between. We as women also owe it to ourselves to fully express our emotions and feelings in a way that is free of judgment, criticism, guilt, or shame. And it's a big reminder for us to give ourselves full permission to do so for us. However, with consciousness around others, we cannot ask men to hold us, our feelings, emotions, and energy if we're not willing to do it ourselves. This also reminds men of their emotional boundaries. Check into their bodies and what they need and voice it out. Men don't have to be open for emotional penetration just because they're there. This is a call for rising for more awareness around our behaviors and how we relate to one another. And at the bottom, it says, P.S. to all emotional victims, from the bottom of my heart, I want to send this sincerely apology to you, especially men. Please forgive me all the time that I penetrated you without your permission and consent and expected you to hold me, accept me, and love me. Thank you for your openness and heart and patience throughout this journey. And that's a very good point. I do like that. And, you know, there's some parts of there that, you know, make you pause. And you have to reread it and you have to re-listen to those parts to understand and digest each individual part. Because, yeah, you know, for good reason. I've had a very, very frustrating two months. I went out to California and it wasn't the way I wanted it to be. I didn't have the experience that I needed. or at least the experience I thought I needed. Me and my husband have butted heads a lot more than we needed to. This was his first time out there. It was for his birthday time period, but it was me going back home to visit my family. So it was like both of us wanting to do exactly what we want to do, but not thinking about the other. You know, I had a lot of emotional baggage before I even went out there, and I was hoping to get it off my chest, and I wasn't able to. So I took it out on him the last few days before we came home, and it wasn't intentional. It was just I unloaded on him, and not realizing when I unloaded on him like that, he became overwhelmed with all of his intense feelings and emotions that he was having while he was out there. So we found ourselves for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks now, not at heads about the same thing, but just at an emotional, frustrated level, butting heads and arguing, that we just, we fell apart. It wasn't that we stopped loving each other, but, you know, the creeping thoughts, or I could be doing better, it would be easier if this wasn't like this, or if I wasn't with her, or if I wasn't with him, you know, those thoughts. You know, everybody's human. Everybody would like to have the grass a little greener on their side. And it's not always easy, and that's for sure. You know, I'm a child of divorced parents and divorced grandparents, for that matter, you know, and remarried and moved across the country, and not a lot of positive moments in those years, but enough of a growth spurt that I realized that you can't just walk away from a relationship that becomes hard and troubled. You might need to take a spot where you stand still and rethink how you're going to proceed forward. Because if there's a reason, a roadblock, a challenge, it isn't for you to stop. It's for you to slowly but surely learn the lesson that is in front of you. And not all the time do you see it. Sometimes people are blind to what's in front of them, and it takes something big to be, you know, noticed. Like, it took my husband being to the point of the frustration that he was lashing out and saying things that even hurt him in the end, you know. And I don't like it. It's not always my par choice of how to have an argument. But, you know, for him to be able to do that, I needed to come to terms with that he needed me to be able to hold him and support him in all of his doings. All right, come on. Sorry. And, you know, it's not easy. It really isn't. And, you know, I also know that, hold on 1 second, we're going to do a pause and I'll be right back. All right, so back to that, since the dog's done barking. You know, just the moral of this little spout and story of this one would be, you know, take a deep breath and just listen. If your mouth's moving, your ears aren't listening. Sometimes, just sometimes, it takes you listening to the other person, allowing them to get off their chest just as much as you do what they need to. But please, please, just remember, once you've already stated the complicated issues that keep on nitpicking and bothering you, don't repeat them. We already heard it the first time. We definitely understood the first time. And sometimes it does, it just like you, guys in general, or girls. You know, once you say it, it takes a little while for you to work on it. You know, same goes for us. You know, not all the time is it easy for us. It can't just turn around. It's something that you got to work super hard to refocus your mind on to do so. And, you know, hey, it happens. I was trying to keep this a positive beat one, but that post happened to hit a chord with me. That's not enough for the discussion. So, but you gotta love your partners, whether you're having trying times or not. You need to be supportive of both each other's feelings, emotional and physical. You know, sometimes the other partner is not going to speak up and say something. It's hard. It's a lot harder than for somebody to give the advice. Just say something. It's a lot harder, especially when, you know, you have those negative effects when you open your mouth and say something and something negative happens in response to what you said. And then you're confused whether it was even noticed and you don't want to bring it up again. But it's still the same considering factor over and over again. And you got to realize that sometimes it might not be you that needs to learn that lesson. It might be the other person. And you can't always blame them for it. Because if you were able to face those fears in the beginning and just bite the bullet, you know, maybe it wouldn't be reoccurring as much as it is in the future. You know, speaking of my own advice, I probably should take it. So I think I have rambled on quite a lot for tonight, a super lot. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, I might actually sound flowing and what's necessarily needed for this interesting night for podcasting. So I think I'm going to sign off with love and light. Chatter on till next time. Peace.